Keep rubbing there. Oh, keep rubbing it. Oh, no. Oh, hello, everybody. Yes, Santa here. I've been asked by Ewan to tell you about the competition at BritishTechNetwork.com to win a Go Sphero, a ball, or a Sphero thing from Go Sphero. It's great. I have one of these myself. I can fully recommend it. I can't have got one, but there we go. If you'd like to win the Go Sphero, then all you have to do is go to BritishTechNetwork.com and register. That simple. Yes. No precursors, no pre-qualifiers or anything like that. Just anybody can join. So check it out. BritishTechNetwork.com with a Go Sphero. Anyway, that was having a nice dream. I'm going back to sleep. Enjoy the show. Ah, yeah. Well,
chat room's not reporting any problems. Up Periscope, thank you, Windrider. it's dark green, Darth Greeny.
It is a bit dark, isn't it? I don't know why.
Darth Greeny, I have you now.
Oh, hey, that's the well, Brent saved for the show. That's some place to start.
What, Darth Greeny?
No. Start the show. I'll tell you.
Okay. It's the Mac Show. Yes. It's Friday. There's been a little bit of news, and of course it's Black Friday. There have been several deaths already in the UK. Oh, no, not really. There hasn't been any, but there's been some punch-ups. I've got to say that I'm not proud to be a Briton this morning because we seem to have copied America in the worst possible way with Black Friday. People saving £5 on a television and then realizing that it was actually cheaper on Amazon anyway before the Black Friday deal. So. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, a fantastic panel, the great bunch that always are, starting with, of course, Adam Christensen, who has an anecdote to get us going, you say.
Yeah, I'm not, well, two things. So dark, I guess we, you know, could be Darth. We've got Greeny being a little dark or black. And so for there, today's the day that the trailer in iTunes trailer for the new Star Wars comes out.
Yeah, no, I did see that was coming.
I didn't go look for it yet, though.
But when's the film coming out?
Did you say forget it?
No, but did it?
I don't know.
Because I never heard. So
the rumor is it's supposed to be out today. So there's that.
A sneaky preview that was a bit blurry that went up on YouTube yesterday, but it got taken down almost instantly.
The preview for the preview trailer? Yeah. Or was it actually?
The preview for the trailer.
Because there was a preview for the preview, which was dumb. Jeez.
In nine entire theaters.
I've been seeing a link to the trailer on the iTunes site bouncing around online.
Yeah.
But I don't get I don't get anything. It's just a blank page for me.
Well,
I just dropped it in
sometime today. So that's the first thing. Other thing, so we can introduce everybody else. Black Friday, I just got to tell you this little story. So I was helping a client on Tuesday. And we had to swing by the Best Buy, and there were those folks camping out with their little tents. They had been there since Monday.
Oh, shit.
So here's the thing about Black Friday to me, and maybe it's just, you know, like, if they were working, like, even a part-time job, making a minimum wage for the number of hours that they're sitting in front of the Best Buy, they wouldn't need the Black Friday deal. They could just buy what they wanted. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, but it's like queuing up to buy it on day one at an Apple store, isn't it? It's the experience for some of it.
Is it? Is it really?
Well, no, yeah, because I've been to two launches now.
I know what you're talking about.
And it was great fun to be there. And if I'd have walked away
without that, it's different to me, though. You're not in line to save a couple $100 on a TV.
No, but I mean,
that
people
you could buy any other day.
The excitement of sitting camping out. You know, I get the idea of doing something for the experience, even though it's probably going to be horrifically unpleasant and you're holding your shit in for 4 days.
And I've never waited for an iPhone for 4 days.
Taking Imodium like it's going out of fashion, like you're eating sweets. So no, but I get the idea of that it's an experience to be had. It's not on my bucket list, though, I have to say.
All right.
I might pay someone else to get it off on my bucket list. But
it came to fisticuffs in the UK, huh?
Yeah, there was some scuffles at an Asda in Exeter, and there's an Asda in North London where the police have been called, and in Manchester someone was taken to hospital on a stretcher.
Not worth it, people.
Oh, it's the same.
I'm sure that something similar has happened here. There was some sort of Walmart stampede or something.
Well, the Argos.
I'm certain of it.
Argos is like a catalogue store here in the UK. So it's like a warehousey store with a shop fronty. There's no shop front that you can view anything particularly. But you go in and you finger through their catalogue, and then you write down the numbers that you want. You take them up and pay for them, and then they come out from the warehouse and you pick them up and go. And it's a really good business model. It's a good way to buy stuff. If you know what you're buying and you know what the quality standards are, you don't want to inspect it, etc. And you can get some pretty cheap deals as a result. Their website went down today. At 6 a.m., that was it. Bang, no website. Big red stoplights came up. And as far as I'm aware, it's still down. So. Only because I wouldn't go there to say anything. Excuse me, yawning, Christ.
I think Wheatley heard you.
Not that I'm bored.
Calling you out on Twitter.
For Black Friday. Who's that?
Paul.
Wait, is he calling me out for what? What have I done wrong?
With your lines.
The lines. Sorry.
Yeah.
Balls. He's put balls.
He says he got the lines right.
Shenanigans here.
I didn't give him a greeny line. That's why. There we go. He's quoting my email. I'm sorry. Wait, let's get back to work anyway. What the hell are you doing?
All right, you should introduce the other guest.
Next to him, it's Jeff Garrett. No one needs introductions here. Where you been, mate? What you been up to?
You know, it's been a while since I've been on the Mac Show. So even though it's a holiday weekend, I'm totally cool with getting up early and hanging out with you. Well, and Ewan, it's always great to get to hang out with you.
Exactly. That's the same. Vice versa, mate. Absolutely. And Kelly Darkshirt.
Yeah.
Dark House. It's pretty dark there. Is it overcast in your room?
It's overcast outside. I don't know why the light's not coming out better than it would be. So.
You're a Darth Lord of the Sith, I would suggest. And talking of the Sith, Darth Greeny, how's it going, mate?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
You do what?
Yourself.
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, made your bed, dude.
I know. It's all, so, you know, I'm talking about moving house and getting a new studio and stuff like that. So at the moment, I'm stuck in my bedroom like a 14-year-old schoolboy.
Well, everything else is packed up.
Yeah. I've got a new operating system on my computer.
Oh, what have you got?
Right. You know, I've been having problems with it, with the graphics card and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've sold it. I put Snow Leopard back on it, and it works an absolute treat.
Snow Leopard.
And the point is, I suppose I work in cloud computing, and the latest version of Chrome works fine on it. And so that's my sort of business machine. I've got this machine, which is an iMac, and I can run Final Cut and everything on. I was like, on that, and you know, it works great because it hasn't got this blooming two graphic card gubbins going on. But isn't it disgraceful that it's obviously not a hardware thing? It's rubbish coding on Apple's behalf. I was really loving... what's it called? Yosemite.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cartoon character, doesn't it? It was working really well. And then they did the latest update and it totally ruined it for me. So I couldn't use any of the software that I rely on to earn my living. So anyway, so I've put I put Snow Leopard on, and Photoshop works fine on it. You know, everything that I need pretty much works fine on it. It's... What do you think? I think we're sort of, I suppose because I work in the cloud space, the operating system is less important than it used to be to me. But I think possibly we're moving in that direction anyway, and I think that's half of the reason that, that Apple give away their operating systems now rather than charge them. It's just to, you know, correct the bug fixes from the previous operating systems. Or make them worse.
Well, that's a bit harsh, dude. I mean, it's, I think you are going to get problems with some of the programs, though. I mean, things like the latest version of Pages and that kind of stuff won't run on anything but Yosemite. So.
Oh, what a loss that is.
Oh, Pages is a good program. I love Pages.
It's, anyway, I'm not going to... We've had this discussion before, but like Office works fine. All the programs I need work fine with Snow Leopard. And it doesn't keep crashing or going weird on the graphics side of it.
It's a productivity then issue, isn't it? It's just you're obviously far better off.
Yes, I am.
Bronwyn's pointing to wikipedia.org/Yosemite Sam for the cartoon character that you're looking for.
But, I was convinced they really, needed Yosemite after Yosemite Sam because everybody installs it and goes, frazzle, frazzle, frizzle, frazzle. Just like he used to.
It's a productivity though issue, isn't it, Greeny? That's the thing. If you're getting more productive by having an older OS on, good on you.
Well, I'm in the same camp. I haven't upgraded yet on my main machine. I'm still running OS 10 Mavericks.
Wouldn't do it. Honestly, I wouldn't do it.
I really wouldn't. I'm not to Yosemite yet.
Didn't give me any issues, so.
Yeah, I'm not having any problems with Yosemite. The Wi-Fi dropout thing people are complaining about, not experiencing at all.
No, me either.
And yeah, Yosemite's running fine for me.
Was asked today if, Windrider says, if iWork 9 works with 10.10.1, and apparently it does. So you can use your old iWork stuff as well then. So it's not just, it's only the new version of Pages, etc. Which I've got to say, the new version of Pages is still not as good as the old one. That's crap.
This is the bigger thing to me, though, is you now get weird questions like that. Like, can I run the older version of this with the newer version of that? I think it's becoming a bit of a problem for Apple, or there's people that don't want to upgrade the operating system, and this all comes from this general, you know, the last few releases, both on iOS and OS X, and with their apps and with iCloud, they're starting to get this reputation that in some ways, to me, feels like the reputation Microsoft had, you know, years ago, where it's like, well, they'll get it right by the third version. They do seem to be releasing stuff over the past, you know, few years to me that feels, you know, whether it's real or imagined perception, feels like it's a lot more buggy and a lot less reliable than it felt in the past. No?
Yeah, I agree. I went to the door.
No problem.
I agree with you, Adam. It's and from a business point of view, it's mad to me that you release a new operating system and the applications you relied on before won't work with a new operating system, even if you've made them yourselves. At least with Windows, you can still run Office 97 on the latest version of Windows, or you know, just that type of example. With Apple, you can't run a new version of this with an old version of that and vice versa. It's that they're locking you down and they're forcing you to keep upgrading, which would be okay if they got the coding right. I mean, the right. Coding, when you're talking with a sort of, as we discussed last week with, for example, an early 2011 MacBook Pro, which cost me £2,500, won't work with their latest operating system. Only a few years old, cost a fortune, and here I'm in the position having to go back to an operating system that is 4 years old in order to get my computer to work again. It's mad, isn't it?
The other thing as well is, I mean, you've got to say lockdown is a business model of desperation. As well, rather than letting your product just sell itself and people opt in because they think it's a better system, to end up forcing people into your closed system is not a good thing.
Well, yeah, and on top of it, they've gotten really pestery about, you know, getting people to upgrade. Like, I think I've been notified at least twice now by the App Store or by an email or something like that. Hey, you should be upgrading to Yosemite. And they kind of do similar things on the iOS side. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm fun. And I think, you know, Will was right. I mean, that's great. That is great. If it's fine to do that, it's fine to say you need, you know, the latest version to run of the operating system or to run the latest version of this. But if you are going to do that, you better make darn sure that that thing is rock solid for the people that are going to upgrade. And that's what they haven't been doing, I don't think. And I don't know if it's because of this new rush to, you know, they put themselves on this deadline a few years ago that they were going to have a new operating system every, you know, an upgrade to the operating system every year, and it wasn't going to be as big of a thing, you know. And I don't even know that they're sticking to that, but they did say that. And so I don't know if that's part of this or if it's just growing pains or, again, maybe it's just perception too. Maybe it's just my perception and it was sort of always like this. And I just had rose-colored glasses on. But I don't think that's what's going on. I do think in the last couple of years, it's gotten harder for Apple to sort of make that hard decision and say, look, this isn't ready. We're not going to ship it. And I think they're shipping stuff now and making mistakes that it feels to me like they wouldn't have made in the past. And I guess we could also go into the theories and, you know, reasons why that is. I don't like pulling out the card that everybody pulls out.
You're gonna get hate mail, mate. This is what it is. This is the way it starts. You come on this show and then 3 years later you're a cynical bastard like me.
I don't know if I'm cynical about it yet. I still love Apple and I don't think there's there's no alternative I'd rather go to. But I do think we as the community need to, you know, be on top of it and to talk about this stuff when Apple is kind of screwing up and saying, hey, this is not, you guys, this isn't really acceptable. Why we are your customers. You know, we love this stuff because you guys are fanatical about making sure that it's perfect every time and it's not feeling perfect anymore.
I wrote a post four years ago about, there's an analogous of a girl who was older than me, who I fancied at school and who I didn't even know her name. And then one day I saw her kissing someone else at the top of the street and my heart dropped, even though she didn't even know who I was. And it was like 6 years between us. And that's what it feels like with Apple. You know, you've got this passionate relationship with something that you absolutely adore and love, and they don't even know you exist. But then one day you just see them kissing someone else at the top of the street and your heart's deflated and you just ache to have back what you had, that little fantasy of you know, you weren't just a number and now you are. And I said that 4 years ago and people sent me hate mail. People unfollowed me on Twitter and blocked me on Twitter. People unsubscribed from the show.
I've changed now.
You've changed that status. Good man. But, you know, I was derided. And yet, lo and behold, and people mock me and tell me I don't know anything about tech, but there we are. I've converted Adam Christian into a cynical bastard.
I'm a lot more critical.
I feel like I have to be a lot more critical and cautious than I used to have to be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I used to be like, for the most part, you check back in iOS programs and call it good.
Right. Some of you can't hear someone else, obviously. Jeff, your turn.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
It's probably Skype just being a bitch again. Yeah, I remember having issues with macOS all the way back in System 8 and complaining about stuff that was wrong when the new operating systems would roll out. And every version of macOS that has come out, there's been something to complain about. And so I'm not sure, is it getting worse? Or are we becoming more critical? And I honestly don't know which one it is.
Kelly, what was it you said?
Well, it used to be that you would choose a couple of things that you were investigating, you know, like, I need to make sure that Adobe programs work, or I need to make sure that Office is working, or I need to wait until Eudora is compatible, whatever it was back in the day. You know, you checked, like, the couple of things that you actually needed, and then, you know, you could jump in with both feet, and it wasn't a big deal. And that was before we ever got, you know, OS X and the upgrade install, where it was a lot smoother. You didn't have to nuke everything in order to do it. And, you know, and back then it still didn't seem to be the tragedy that it's become lately. Like, from, as Steve always said, Jaguar, up through about Snow Leopard, you know, 10.2 or whatever to 10.6, you were pretty safe. Like, yeah, I can make the leap. You know, as long as your stuff's compatible, that's all you really had to worry about, because it wasn't the operating system that was going to trip you up.
Well, hardware took a hammering, like, though. Hardware took a hammering through that whole period. I lost no end of hardware, audio hardware.
Wow.
Firewall stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is that now, like, you know, we were talking about Yosemite being out. People were talking about having participated in the beta. And I never did. I never got around to installing the beta. And then when it went live, I, for one reason or another, I couldn't do it then. And then I needed to make sure I had, you know, my extra backup that was all ready to go. And then I didn't have a drive for a recovery drive. So one thing and another, and I still haven't done it. And I'm hearing from people who are like, yeah, maybe don't. Well, and I don't remember having heard that from people on previous Mac OS upgrades in the past.
You're not going to hear me play devil's advocate the opposite way very often, but I have had no problems. I have upgraded to Yosemite. There is nothing which doesn't work. There are no glitches and issues that I notice. I don't get any hangs. The only thing, as I said last week, is when I restart the computer, I get the white safe mode increase bar, and that's it. But it comes back on and it works. So
I think that's a standard thing, that when you do a reboot in Yosemite, it's showing that mm-hmm. little bar going across as a progress thing now. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's actually something they designed into
In that case, I have nothing to talk about that's wrong or bad with Yosemite.
You know, I had worse problems in the past with upgrading to new versions of Mac OS. Like, and keep in mind, I came out of the printing and graphic design industry, where there was a lot of specialized equipment that you were outputting your files to, and we could not upgrade our operating systems on our Macs for a long time after Apple would release something, because Quark Express would stop working, or none of our printers would talk to our Macs anymore. And so, you know, so people saying today that, oh, I do an upgrade and now nothing's compatible, that's not new. That's something that I dealt with for a long time. And for me, at least, it's less of an issue now than it was back in the pre OS 10 days. Well, actually, the first few versions of OS 10, upgrading meant that your workflow was over. And then you had to wait weeks or months mm-hmm. for companies to release new drivers.
Chat room's chipping in with an awful lot of stuff here. Windrider says that he still believes that you're the exception to the rule, Adam. I don't know. Yeah, with iTunes. Everyone wants to feed iTunes to the woodchipper, says Kelly in the chat room. Sufficiently different and horrid now. Lots of people, it's the work of the devil is the effective summary of what's going on in the chat room with that. Apart from Mark Shepard, who said, amazingly, I'm getting along with iTunes 12. Now, I've got to say, I'm okay with iTunes 12 in the sense of I can function with it and I can get it done, but you can't get away from the fact it is a shit UI. Awful UI.
The UI doesn't bother me. iTunes has been broken in many ways for a long time. That was my only argument. It's like the new UI is just the last thing that people are pissed about. But I mean, it goes a lot deeper than the new UI.
Oh, it totally does.
Goes back several mm-hmm. versions. So I'm just not.
But at least the UI.
The new UI you can get used to, and once you learn it, it's fine. Here's the thing. I think there's too many people that want to fight it, and just go, okay, this sucks and I'm not going to use it, or I need my sidebars back, and they try and like figure out a way to get it to work the old way rather than just letting go and going, okay, this is the new thing and just working with it. And I kind of started working with it in 11, because a lot of that went on with 11 too, is there were some changes there and people were like, this sucks and I'm not going to deal with it. So
I think it's hard, you know, for
and that's a classic Apple thing. That's the same thing that happened with iMovie. It's the same thing that happened with Final Cut. You know, people rejected it wholeheartedly because it was such a drastic visual change and didn't accept the new methodology.
It's a hard thing for Apple, though, because they've got people going, we friggin' hate iTunes. So they go, okay, and they change it. And then people say, oh, no, we want the old one back. And you're like, well, you friggin' hated that. You said you friggin' hated that. You had podcast after podcast after podcast that said you hated that. So we changed it, and now you don't like what we changed it to. Sod off. There is a valid point there.
Where are the playlists?
I don't know. I don't use them.
Under playlists in every library?
each live.
And can you get the sidebar back again?
No.
Yep.
No.
Hey, whoa, whoa, let's go to the person who said yes, because that's going to be a more interesting story.
Yes, I did a whole tip on Mac Observer about how to bring back the sidebar, and yeah, you can totally do it. It's hold on, let me launch iTunes and see if I can remember what I put in my tip. Playlist
mode in every library, then you essentially have the sidebar back, and never leave the playlist mode in the library. But
yeah, that's it. There you go. Yeah, you go into into the playlist view in music or videos, and right. The sidebar is just there.
Well, use that view in every mode. So use it in music, use it in movies, use it in TV shows, use it in podcasts, and you will always have the sidebar there. Just never flip out of that mode.
Why do they take it away? It seems a bit mad to me, because the sidebar is like, that's where you live, isn't it? That's how you organize your music and your videos and everything else.
See, no.
So I was under that impression.
I think that us sidebar lovers are actually a minority, even though I would like it to be otherwise. I think that most people probably really aren't using the sidebar anymore. They're listening to their music in different ways. They're letting iTunes pick songs for them. They're using the streaming music services like iTunes Radio. And so the playlists that we're building ourselves are probably not as popular as they used to be. Although I'm one of the people that sits here and uses playlists all the time.
But again, if you leave it in that playlist mode, then you have your playlists, you have your sidebar. So that's your mode. My mode happens to be my music. And when I'm in movies, it's my movies. And when I'm in TV shows, it's my TV shows.
I suppose. So at this time of year, I tend to do quite a few discos. DJ discos. And when I was doing that, or I have a whole sort of a collection of a playlist that I rely on that work with DJ, because it brings those in for me as well. So they're really important to me. I couldn't find them, but I would look and see if they're. Mind you, it's okay now because I've gone back to good old Snow Leopard, rock solid, works a charm. All my applications work. I don't like crappy pages or anything like that. So I'm quite happy, really. My advice to everybody is go back to Snow Leopard. It's wonderful. It's fast. It's solid. I've got a 16 gig of RAM and I think it's a 2.4 i7 processor, something like that. And it's fast as something that goes very fast.
Can't believe that we do a cutting edge Mac podcast and Greeny's trying to sell Snow Leopard to the Mac.
An operating system that Apple doesn't even support anymore.
Well, it's good advice to everybody because honestly, so it just works fine. And functionally, there is like, it does 99% of the things that the latest operating system does, Yosemite, but it also works as well. And it's better than Yosemite because it's very fast and it's super stable.
There we go. Jolly good. Everyone's happy.
I'm only laughing because, you know, I do Mac user groups, and if anybody's ever been to a Mac user group, I don't know how it is over there, but over here, they're an aging sort of going out of fashion sort of thing, and have been.
Balls for you, Christian. I can see where this is going.
Well, no. Here's the thing that I always say there, and that's that I do feel sometimes, you know, I like living on the cutting edge. Obviously, I do a podcast. This is, you know, I love this stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean that has to be for everybody. And this comes up at the user group meeting all the time. Is people will come up and say, "Should I upgrade?" And I have to turn to them and say, "Look, does your machine work? Does it do what you want to do? Is there anything in the new feature list that you're dying to have?" No, I don't care about any of that stuff. Then no, you don't have to upgrade. You know, you're not forced. Now, I do caveat that with, you know, once Apple starts releasing security patches for an operating system, then you probably want to think about upgrading because you want to make sure that you're getting those. But as long as, you know, like they're still putting out security patches for Mavericks. I don't know about Snow Leopard. I don't think they are.
No, Snow Leopard's not supported anymore.
But at the same time, I get the mentality. Like this mentality, this obsessive, I have to upgrade mentality is not always the best for everyone. And I think,
but there's a certain element as well, though, that upgrading is just the path of less resistance, because otherwise,
right.
Apple just keeps sending stuff that goes, really, really, sure you don't want it, sure you don't want it, come on, have it.
Right.
No, it's great.
That's
it's perfect.
That's what I was commenting on. You know,
that top right corner, there is no F off button. Go ahead. Sorry.
Don't fall into that pressure. You don't have to fall into that pressure. You know, upgrade when it makes sense for you to upgrade, and really look at your system and how you use it and things like that. Because really, at the end of the day, we want to get stuff done on these things. And if these things are putting barriers in, if iTunes 12 is your thing, like you live in iTunes and you can't stand it and it's really hampering your day every day, then absolutely go back to the older version that you liked. Like, why suffer through that?
But
there's no need for it.
But that's the thing. You look at the updates that come now for Yosemite and did in Mavericks as well. And you've got a little 3 pull down thing that says update now. Remind me in an hour. Remind me tomorrow. There's no fourth option, which is, will you please off and leave me alone?
Yeah, I do.
I hate coming and coming and coming. And that really is annoying.
I posted that on Twitter. I said something about how there's not an option for no, and you can't make me. And I wanted that to be one of the choices, and it's not. It makes me really unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I admire folks like Will, who are like, I know what works for me and I need it to work and I'm going back to this. I think that's fine.
Does and work. Like, I'm not missing out on anything by not having Yosemite. That's the thing, is I have one of the old $35 a month unlimited data plans with AT&T. So I don't have personal hotspot. So all of that cool stuff that you can do with your Mac, I can't do anyway. So even if I upgrade, apparently all I'm going to get for that is more problems with the Wi-Fi than I already have. Which is that if my computer's been asleep more than about 30 minutes, it has to take about 2 more minutes to emotionally prepare to connect to the Wi-Fi. So just long enough to screw up every program that wants an internet connection and have it throw me an error about how I don't have internet. That's about how long it takes it to go, oh, you mean this internet. So... yeah, so
that's
not
perfect
the-
reason for you to not upgrade, because, well, I mean, the hardware limitations alone, why bother?
Yeah, I only
have a 2-year-old machine, so it's not like it would be a problem at all, but almost 2 years old exactly, as a matter of fact. But I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. It's not like, oh, it would be really awesome if I could make phone calls from my Mac, because even when I get Yosemite, I'm still not going to be able to do it.
We've spent 30 minutes talking about frigging Snow Leopard and iTunes.
Yep.
Moving on to
the
news.
Greeny, I hope you're happy now.
Moving on. Black Friday details. deals from Apple. At the moment, you can get, if you go to the store, $50 off an iPhone, $50 off an iPad, $100 off a Mac, iPod, $25. $25 off an Apple TV, according to this, which sounds like a huge...
Now, is that off?
It's not actually
that
off.
You those get a gift just, card.
Those are the gift cards
gift
you get.
Gift cards, sorry, yeah. And okay. $25 for Dr. Dre stuff. And the Mac Mall thing came out with some other stuff as well. Apple
Mac Mall has some good deals.
Apple is reportedly stopping production of iPhone 5C in 2015. The 5C has got to go down as a bit of a fail, surely.
Sure.
I disagree.
Oh, okay. Oh, go on.
I totally disagree.
Makes for a better podcast.
The number of people that I see snapping up the iPhone 5C, even still, is surprisingly high. The number of people that I see walking down the streets here in Boulder with an iPhone 5C in their hand is remarkably high. I see as many 5Cs as I see any other iPhone model out there. And when I'm talking with people about what iPhone they're considering buying, more often than not, I hear them saying 5C.
Have you got a 5C?
It's a great phone.
But it's not the appropriate phone for me. If I needed a more casual use smartphone, then sure, I would have snapped up a 5C and been happy with it.
It's a piece of 8 gig shite, says the chat.
There's the problem. Jeff is absolutely right, though. You around here, at least in the wild, I would say I see as many 5Cs as any other iPhone. Now, when I see that, I do feel bad for those people, because I think they got sold the, you know, this is the free iPhone. And they don't realize that they can't store anything on it. But I'm willing to accept I may be mistaken. I haven't actually, should actually talk to some people I know who have 5Cs. It might not be a problem for them, because they might not be, you know, as app heavy or as media heavy as the rest of us are.
I bet you laugh at them, don't you? you bastard. No. I bet you're on the subway or the tube and you see somebody with a 5C and then you whip out your 6 and then you smile smugly.
It's like a bell around their neck, unclean.
Absolutely not.
I bet it is. I see a lot of those phones. And in fact, my aunt has one. We were talking about Black Friday earlier. In the U.S., if you go to Target, and they were doing this deal both in-store and online today, you can get a 5C for a penny. And any iPhone that you purchase at Target gets you a $30 Target gift card. So you make money picking up a 5C if you wanted to do it like this weekend. So aside from that, my aunt has one. My aunt doesn't play music basically off of her phone at all ever. She wants to see pictures and she wants to see the pictures that her kids send her in her email. And she can ask it for directions like when they come to Portland to visit.
So basically the fact she's got 8 gigs, she can only do that for 3 weeks.
And no, she's going to be able to do that forever because she saves the pictures out on her computer later. So like if a brand new picture just came in, she's able to look at it and go, here's the first thing of this, here's whatever. And then she takes them home and scoops them off. It's not a big deal to her. And so the thing that for her as a casual user, she wants to be able to, because a lot of like my mom and my aunt and my dad and his wife and like all those guys, basically what they want to do with their phone is be able to get email when they're not in front of their computer sometimes. Not all the time, just sometimes, or be able to send one. Occasionally take a picture and be able to send and receive phone calls and then in some cases directions. And that's basically it. And, you know, have a better way to text than the sorry phone. I should see if I can find a picture of the phone my mom used to have because good Lord. They want to be able to have a basic communication level when they're not home. And that's it. So, in fact, my dad doesn't have a landline anymore because between fishing trips and part of the time in another part of the country, it was just easier for them to finally get rid of their landline. And now each of them has a mobile phone. And that happened a couple of years ago. And it's just a matter of basic communication level. So for a lot of people, if you don't have that kind of need, the 5C is an awesome phone. It's a really good way to introduce a lot of people to an iPhone, yeah, which beaten into our heads for 5 years. It's expensive.
That's not necessarily, I mean, the chat room saying that the iPhone 5C outsold the 5 here in the UK, but I don't think it's just about the sales. I think it's about the fact that there is no 6C and the fact that they are still going to be producing a 4S when they walk away from the 5C. That's the indication of failure, is the fact that Apple is walking away from something that they feel has no longer a place in the market, yet they're still making the previous model for people to use as the giveaway item. That's the failure of it. It's not about the sales figures at all.
I don't think they're going to continue to make the 4S after that either.
No, I don't.
I mean, I know it's not being reported on.
Yeah, I agree. The 4S is on borrowed time.
But then, you know, is the 5S going to become the sale? The low-end sale?
I would say it totally will.
That's expensive on components, though. The 5C, the benefit of the 5C was it was not expensive on components.
Well, it's the same components as the 5. So, I mean, they could do 5 if they wanted to.
Processors, right. Less RAM, less storage. It was cheaper components. Got to be cheaper components.
Otherwise, well, remember when we got the right now, if you try to go get one, the only option you get in the 4S is an 8 gig as well. The freebie phone is always an 8 gig phone.
But that's the thing that Apple needs to change, in my opinion. The 8 gigs needs to die completely. Yeah. And maybe even 16 gigs, in my opinion. No one should be selling anybody a smart device that has less than 16, and I would even argue less than 32 gigs, because especially considering prices of flash memory and the prices that Apple can likely get Apple for that flash memory. I think it's just a disservice to their customers. I think it's just...
Went out and they did a purchasing thing where they were going to say, right, okay, let's get the best deal we possibly can on this memory. And they bought 2 million warehouse fulls of 8 and 16 gig NAND flash. Mm-hmm. And now they can't get rid of it unless they put it in their phones. That's why you're stuck with the 16 and not 32 as the base model, because they've got so much shit they don't know what to do with it. And no one's buying it. So There we go. That was just my thought. I think it's bullshit, by the way. I have no foundation for that story whatsoever. But then if you listen to this network regularly, you'd know that.
You have the foundation of common sense. I mean, what other reason could it be? Because it can't be that, you know, that the 16 modules are too expensive or the 32s are that much more expensive and are detracting that much from the bottom line.
Yeah. They just love bending over their customers. There we go. That's the other theory.
My prediction on this is that what's going to happen is the reason the 5C will go away is because then the 5S can be the freebie phone, and then the entire line will have Touch ID.
Right.
That's what I think will happen.
They could also do the 5S with a plastic back and call it the 6C or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, the other advantage is...
Yahoo and Microsoft are courting Apple, as in kisses and fondlings, as Google's Safari search engine deal expires in 2015. Do you really want to go with Microsoft Bing or Yahoo as your preferred search in Safari now, by default?
No. Flat out no.
No, Bing's pretty good.
Am I not going to be allowed to change it?
I am not pleased with Bing at all.
I think it's the default thing. Apple renewed its Maps and Search partnership with Google in 2010, but that contract reportedly set to end in 2015. Both Yahoo and Microsoft are actively vying to be the next default provider for Apple's Safari product.
You know, and ultimately, that means just Bing, because Microsoft controls Yahoo's back-end search engine. Yahoo sold their soul to Microsoft. So it doesn't matter if you go Yahoo or Bing, you're going Bing.
Yeah.
And I'm not pleased with Bing as a search engine. It feels more like an advertising engine to me.
Yeah, absolutely. But think for a minute how awesome it would be for Marissa Meyer if Yahoo won.
Oh, that would be a huge thing for her.
Yeah. Especially as somebody, you know, they brought in to help turn the company around and make things, you know, make some things happen and do what they can to increase value or whatever. I think it would possibly be
the sexist thing, the most sexist thing we've ever had on this show.
I'm not trying to be sexist.
You're doing it for the sisterhood.
It's not because she's a woman. Whoever the person is at the head of Yahoo, the person that is running Yahoo right now, whoever that is, was brought in because at the time Yahoo was headed, you know, the ship was totally a failboat, and they brought someone in to try to right the ship. And the person who that is happens to be female. I'm not saying she will win because she's female, or that she will lose that Yahoo will lose because she's female. I'm saying the person in charge of Yahoo, who I happen to know the name of, is Marissa Meyer.
I think wouldn't it be a big one,
killer
there?
Victory for them.
Greedy, you're on mute, mate. That's why we haven't heard from you in 20 minutes.
Ah, I was.
I just thought he was being polite.
I am. I'm, of course.
Well, see, there you go.
One thing I will say about Yahoo.
Always the proper gentleman.
For UK listeners, is if you install the Yahoo Searchy Bar thing and connect it with your Nectar account, I think you get something like 500 Nectar points straight away, and then you get Nectar points on every sort of search or something you do. I can't remember the exact details, but check it out if you are a Nectar Point fan like myself.
Paying to search on Yahoo.
Pretty much, yes. With Nectar Points. And also eBay. eBay does Nectar Points. How's that?
Ewan B. Twit was the most sexist.
Was that thing. Interesting, was it?
Yeah,
it was
Adam slagging me off in the chat room.
Yeah. That was awesome, Adam.
Can't do it to me face.
No, he was just replying in the chat room because someone in the chat room said, wait, what's the most sexist thing? So Adam replied. It was being
I was
very
trying
helpful.
Not just wait my turn and not talk over people, which has been an issue because I think Skype's laggy today.
I get bored easy. Yeah. Jeff, I take it from your response then you're voting for Google to renew their contracts in 2015 with Apple, not Yahoo.
I hope Google renews their contract. Yeah. It's of the search engine options that are available to have as a default, I think Google right now is the best.
Absolutely.
I think this is a business thing. And I think as long as Apple doesn't take away my choice to be able to go in and switch it myself, I don't think it really matters to me, because from a business standpoint, it could be beneficial to Apple You know, however that deal gets done, and you know, 90% of the people probably aren't going to notice or care. And for the 10% that do, if we can go in and switch it, then we're going to be fine as well. So kind of everybody wins in my opinion.
And that's all I ever want from Apple is the option. And for a lot of people, that's where the iTunes rage comes from, is because at least in 11, you had the option for the sidebar, and now they've taken that away. So,
oh, we're not going back to frigging iTunes.
No, that's one of the things that people like me are upset about, is you don't even give me the option to do it the way that I like to do it. And whenever Apple does this, it's always really frustrating. Whenever a new version of something comes out and now that bit is flipped by default the other way, you know that feature's days are numbered, and it's a big bummer. But it's one of the things that it's that, you know, relentless march forward of technology. So as long as they give me the option to go in and not make it Yahoo or Bing now, then that's fine. And they have that option already on iOS. You can use something besides Google if you really want to.
You don't think they're going to do a Survey Monkey on this then? See what we prefer?
My hunch is no.
Really? You think?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Because you can already switch it now. If you don't want Google to be your default provider, you don't have to have that.
DuckDuckGo, man.
I'm hearing more and more people say DuckDuckGo and not in a joking way. There's a lot of people that are really starting to love DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo is great. Engine.
What is that? What is DuckDuckGo?
DuckDuckGo is another search engine that's out there. It doesn't give you as extensive a result list as Google will, but it's all private, and they don't take any of your data and resell it to other people.
Google don't do that.
Cortana versus Siri, new advertising showcasing the contextual reminders and traffic alerts that are available from Cortana from Microsoft against Siri, who consistently says, "I've got bigger." I watched this advert before we started. It's a good advert, and it's very Mac versus PC, and it's a bit of a reverse slap. It's well done. And I got to say, Cortana is brilliant, and it is far more reliable than Siri. I've got back to the old, "I'm sorry, I can't help you at the moment," with her.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a pain in the ass. One of the reasons I went away from the 4S was Siri just became pointless. Every time I clicked it or used it, "I'm sorry, I can't help you at the moment," which may have been my network connectivity that may have been the problem. But I've gone back to that now. Every time I try and use Siri, it's good for certain reminders. That's fine. All the localized stuff that it seems to do in-house, if you like, you know, it doesn't need a connectivity to the net. It's fine with. But if you start asking it for search stuff, "I'm sorry, I can't help you at the moment." And he said, "The bloke's voice pisses me off as well, because it's not Johnny Briggs, and he was really cool."
You know, it's probably because Siri is spending so much time doting over me.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Siri is working great for me. Possible. I use Siri all the time. Siri is getting me so close to Star Trek computer interface. And I rarely have an issue with Siri. Assumption is because I'm sucking up so much of Siri's horsepower, it's screwing it for everyone else. Sorry.
Okay. That might be true. But anyone else? I hate the current Siri. I think it's pointless. It's not working at all. Cortana is very good on the...
Can she rap?
Well, Siri can't, that's for sure.
I posted a link in the chat.
The Cantara rap.
I beg to differ.
Skewiff featuring Siri know-how.
Oh, nice.
There we go. It's a good advert. Go and have a watch of it if you fancy it. Job listing for virtual reality headsets. Job listing for virtual reality headsets posting for Apple. They're going to get someone in. Someone's pointed out in one of the comments on this that the bloke's mouth is exactly the same as shape as Miles Madsen's, the guy out of Hannibal, which it is. But over the past years, Apple's expressed an interest in both virtual reality and augmented reality, and they've applied for a number of patents, but now they're looking for jobsy people to get involved with that. What the hell is Apple going to do with VR?
More importantly, what's wrong with that guy's ear?
Well, yes, absolutely. That's actually a French fry. It's not an ear. No, I mean, what's the what the hell is Apple going to do with VR? I mean, okay, they've got patents for it, and they've got ideas for it, and they've got, but I can't see where the application's going to come for it, because they don't branch out into any particular sphere where it would be of benefit.
You know, maybe this isn't about going full on VR, and this is about obfuscating some technology that that they really want to make sure they've patented well, and they don't want other people to know what they're doing with it. So they wrap it in this VR sort of explanation in the patent filing, but then the underlying technology gets used in different ways. And yeah. Apple has done stuff like that in the past.
So it's augmented reality for the cameras on the devices, etc., perhaps, rather than being true VR.
It's patent blocking is what it is. It's future proofing. It's, you know, this is a part of the symptom of the broken patent system. And I know this because I worked at a company where we had to put together some patents, and going through the process with the lawyers and things like that. I have two patents, actually.
What are they for?
One is a system for digitally unlocking a trading card, which has to do with like codes and things like that. And another has to do with confirming digital signatures on memorabilia products with a camera mounted pen based system.
Oh.
Yeah. But the thing was, is you'd sit down and you'd write it out. You'd write out what the thing was, right? We as engineers would sit down and say, okay, here's what we built. Here's what it does. Here's all the things. And then there was this back and forth of, okay, we need to expand it. We need to make the language broad. We need to make sure that, you know, even though the technology doesn't exist, that we include anything that could be possible future technology that someone might come in and try and, you know, also get a patent on. So we were throwing things like, for example, the system we had built for the digital unlocking of a trading card was, you know, it had a number on it and you'd plug in this number on a website and stuff like that. But we had to write in things like, well, one form of the patent, it could be a chip. One form of the patent, it could be a wireless thing. One form of the patent, it could be, you know, some special ink that, you know, doesn't exist that would allow this capability to exist. So, you know, a lot of times companies are filing patents because they think, you know, sometime, maybe 20 years from now, we might want to do this, and we need to be first, and we need to have the patent. So there's a lot of patents like that.
That's exactly what's wrong with the patent system, though.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yep. Entirely what's wrong with
the They put these in their patent portfolios. And this is how we got the, you know, this is why we got those idiots suing for the podcast patent, right? Which their system actually described sending audio tapes in the physical post. And they said, well, that was a podcast when, you know, the technology existed, and it covers everything you're doing now.
Yeah. No.
The notion that you can patent sending something through the mail is kind of crazy.
Prior art, I would suggest.
But I mean, a lot of the stuff, I don't put a lot of stock in Apple's patents. Apple's got a lot of ideas, and because they have lawyers and because they have teams, this is how the system works. They have to throw these out there. So whether or not they have an actual application in mind for it at the time is really irrelevant. They still have to file the patent. They still have to describe it. And, you know, will they do anything with it? Maybe, maybe not. You know, if the opportunity comes and it makes sense, though, what they look at is, well, we have that covered because, you know, 5 years ago we wrote this up, and but that's going to cover what we want to do now with this new technology.
This is a jobs listing, though. So they're looking for a software engineer to develop UI and applications to create next generation software experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
broad. I mean, that doesn't say VR.
No, fair enough. But
I go with the old sending tapes or records through the post.
No, it does say later on, if you look, engineer will create high performance apps that integrate with virtual reality systems for prototyping and user testing. So it is a VR listing.
Right, but when you get somebody who understands that space and is somebody who has spent time doing some development there, you're going to be able to pick their brain on all kinds of other stuff. So I know, Jeff, you may need to walk us through this, but there was just a, speaking of patents, there was just a patent settlement because Apple and a few other companies got together and formed another company so that they could buy a portfolio of patents and so that they wouldn't be in violation of them. The Rockstar Consortium.
Yeah, that's the whole Rockstar Consortium thing. And yeah, and they just settled, or Google just settled with Rockstar. Rockstar had sued Google over, get this, search-related patents that came out of the Nortel patent purchase. And the patent system is really messed up.
Yeah, it's just it's the world over. It is. Absolutely is, no question.
Yeah,
no problem. There's some stuff on the watch as well, but I can't be asked.
Before we move,
the more I see about it, I don't want it. What? Go on, Greeny.
I was going to say, can we rewind a bit? This bit where you get audio tapes delivered through the post. Do they still do that or not?
You used to do that, didn't you? With the audiobooks used to come through the post. You get physical CDs and cassettes. If you go back, there used to be a lending library down at Chelmsley Wood Library. They used to do a lending library of tapes. And there was always a leaflet in there for a postal lending library where you'd pay a rental. It was like a kind of Audible type thing, but it was for physical tapes that you'd listen to in the car.
Do you miss those days? I subscribe to a couple of societies and also subscribe to Esquire magazine. And I'm really excited when I get a new magazine through the door. But where I compare that to looking at that magazine on my iPad, it's incredibly boring. I've absolutely no interest in it at all. There's the excitement is totally taken away. Whereas like Esquire or the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society magazine or Sherlock Holmes magazine through the door, and I'm thinking, yay, you know, it brightens up your day.
I don't like magazines on tablets, I have to say. I'm with you. You know, I like sitting down and thumbing.
I think the big problem with magazines on tablets is that the publishers have failed to grasp that this is a completely different medium and that they need to present their content in a different way. And instead, what they're doing is they're taking the print edition and then they're just running it through a render engine that makes a magazine file for the iPad and sending it on its way. Or like in the case of Time Magazine, they make JPEGs of every page of the magazine, low res JPEGs, and then stitch them together as a digital magazine and dump that to the iPad. That's stupid. This is not a compelling use of the medium. And there's no way, in my opinion, to get excited and interested in this content if it's not being presented to us in a new and fresh way. Don't give me a digital rendering of the paper magazine. If that's what I want, I'll go get the paper magazine. I want my content in a way that is, it's a richer presentation on a tablet, or it should be, but that's not what we're doing.
I will point out that we have spent a lot of time talking about this over at Mac Observer.
Yes, we have.
To me, this is the Windows 8 problem, which is no matter what you're using, it should be the same. And with magazines, that's a complete failure. And part of the reason it's a complete failure in my estimation is because nobody seems to understand that once you make the magazine, suppose you're letting Newsstand do all of the work for you, you're not paying any extra, whether 100 people download it or 1 million people download it. So if I want to go sign up for Wired Magazine today, they will give me a deal where I get an entire year, 12 issues of Wired Magazine, for $10, and for that same $10, they will also give me some sort of treat, you know, a goofy phone, like a landline phone or a t-shirt or a hat. They will, for $10, they will give me a year's worth of Wired and a gift. And it's $5 an issue if I want to do it on my iPad and not have to recycle a giant magazine every month.
Hmm.
And there's no deal.
And I like it. I mean, back in the day, still today, I'll go down the pub and take a computer magazine, whether it's Macworld or something like that, or I'm very keen on science, and I'll have my pint of Guinness and I'll read my magazine there, and it's a thing of beauty. It's absolutely lovely. And you stick it in your back pocket, and it doesn't matter if you spill a bit of beer on it. It's totally different. Narrow it back to an Apple thing. It looks like iBooks Author is being done away with. Because that's been a bit of a failure as well, hasn't it?
That's totally news to me. No, it's not being done away with.
I don't think it was done away with at all.
Yeah, it's still there. It's going strong, and it's the primary way that that most people are producing the book content that's going to the iBook store now.
But what source have you got that says it's going away, Granny? None.
Oh, I see. You just screwed
it. Installed Snow Leopard and it disappeared.
To be fair to me, I did read a couple of rumors that they were sort of deciding to pull the plug on it. Along the same with Aperture and a few other things that they're having a bit of a refresh because it just doesn't seem to have taken off. Am I wrong in saying that? I never buy anything from that blooming bookstory thing.
It is somewhat absent in terms of there's no active sale of it. You've got to kind of, it's a podcasting model effectively for books, isn't it? They've given you the tool to make the book, but they haven't given you they're not promoting anything that's in there and taking this percentage sale. You've got to promote your own book yourself.
Mm.
You know, it's a very, very passive system. Most definitely. I understand.
Which is pretty much how the entire book industry works. If you're an author, and I'm speaking from experience, if you are an author and you want people to know about your book, you do not rely on your publisher because they are not going to promote it. Yep. Not unless your name is J.K. Rowling or Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to channel my inner Will. Go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, so the argument would be why pay a publisher when you could, you know, do it yourself and put it on iBooks? You're still doing all the work, but now you're getting the lion's share of the reward for that.
Oh, and Apple's still taking 30%
versus the tiny
nothing,
piece.
Apart from providing you with the original software.
Right. Yeah, and nobody actually bothers reading anything on Newsstand or whatever, because just as we discussed, it's cheaper to get the paper copy than the crappy digital version. So why bother? I mean, you know, I get my Esquire magazine delivered through the post. It costs me £15 a year, and I get 12 editions for that. And I can pop it in my briefcase, and I can read it on the tube or wherever without having to worry about a signal or anything like that. So, and make notes in the margin or that whole sort of process. And there's no reason why you can't recycle the paper, so it's not damaging to the environment at all. Well, slightly maybe, but...
Will reading Esquire is the funniest thing on the show today, says Kelly. But not live on the show. She hasn't got the guts.
No,
I am the image of sartorial elegance. I love you, though.
I have the guts. I just don't have... Apparently, there's latency. I didn't want to step in while Will was still talking. That's all.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people who are self-publishing. Jeff, you were talking about not relying on the publisher to do the promotion for you. And
yeah, look at David Sparks.
That's
a big deal. Like, I know a lot of people who have just... hauled off and published books. We all do. David Sparks is somebody who's done this. Brett Terpstra worked on a couple of those with David Sparks. Don McAllister is his own publishing model. You know, you don't have to go, you subscribe to stuff through him directly. You don't have to go to iTunes or anything like that to make it work. And I think that there's a lot of people who are discovering that sort of the same way that podcasting became everybody's audio publishing, you know, as long as they were willing to haul off and do it. Then I think that print is going to end up going the same way. And it's really frustrating because a lot of people who work at magazines are doing good stuff. And it's really interesting. Like I read Rolling Stone. It's one of the few paper things I actually subscribe to. I love Rolling Stone because they have a whole lot of stuff about what's going on in the rest of the world. It's really great. And I wish that I could get it digital only, but they don't have that mechanism for me. And I would love that because if they're going to write an article about an artist, then they can include a clip of the song. They can include the video they're talking about. They can change that stuff all the time. It would be awesome. And to me, the disappointment is that a lot of stuff is getting missed out on because people like me go, I'm not going to sign up for Esquire or Wired or any of these other things because it's just another thing I'm going to have to throw in the recycling. And I don't want to have to mess with having all these magazines sitting around. So... to me, it would be really great if they would take advantage of what's available.
I worry about the porn industry when it comes to magazines.
Why?
Well,
why?
I don't think they're feeling that bad, mate.
well, when we were sort of in our teens or whatever, it might still be the case. I don't know. The whole thing about porn was you went and you bought your magazine of choice, or Mayfair or whatever it is, off the top shelf. That's the way it was. I know this is a slightly different example, but now you compare it, the porn industry seems exclusively internet-based, or that's free and anybody can get it. So what the porn industry doing? Who buys those magazines anymore? Is there still a market for them?
Okay, you know, here's the deal. Yes, there's definitely a market for that, because there are a bunch of people that want to have that content outside of a computer. And so, yes, that part of the industry will stay.
It's got to be down.
The other side of the industry that's online, where it's like free boobs and free blowjobs. Look at this site now. That is the teaser that pulls people in to the paid side of the online porn industry. And that is a huge, huge business. The entire print side could go away completely, and the porn industry would probably not even feel the sting from that, because the money that they make online is like just, it's decadent.
It's ridiculous.
And so much so that as I'm saying this, I'm wondering why do I not have an online porn business? Because I would be making so much money.
Paul Raymond, what's he going to do?
Well, he's dead. So,
is he?
Yeah, he's long gone, mate.
So he's not going to do much.
He's been dead probably for 30 years.
Has he?
20 years, maybe. Yeah.
How
is this Mac related?
Good old Paul Raymond.
I'm sure he did a lot of the publishing.
The last
on Macs.
Operating system he used was Snow Leopard.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you.
No, I bet
you
the last,
tying that back in.
The last operating system Paul Raymond would have used was probably Cheetah. So, I'll tell you what, the puns available through that whole section, and we didn't capitalize on any of them. I'm disappointed in the lot of you. You're a disgrace. Don't you ever come back on this show.
When I was a lad.
Is it clean? Will I have to bleep?
No, not really.
Okay.
Then. No, but in some ways we were talking about the differences between digital and magazines and stuff like that, and the quality in each of them. I was coming back on the bus with my mate, and no, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, no, I suppose. Well, it doesn't.
For what we were about to receive.
The point being is we saw a porno magazine chucked on the floor, and this was probably about 9 miles from our home. We saw it at the window of the bus taking us home.
Right.
So when we got home, we got on our bikes and we rode 9 miles there, 9 miles back, just to get this porn magazine. Okay.
Yeah.
Which wasn't very good anyway, if I remember. But the point is, would people still do that?
Green, have you ever thought of a job as GPS? If you can ride 9 miles on a bike to a single porn mag that you passed on a bus at speed, you're impressive, mate.
Well, to be fair, I know exactly where it was, just outside Kinver, and the bus did, it was at a C junction, so I had to stop, and we were looking out the window. And I remember it was my mate, Richard Hall, and we rode 9 miles there and 9 miles back.
Another
just for this
event that had a massive influence on your life.
And the kids of today,
clearly.
Do they do that? No, they don't.
Would my son get back on a bike and ride 9 miles to pick up poor Mag? I hope not. Thank you for that.
It's all changed, isn't it? It's all changed. It's all online now. And I think it's a bad thing. I think computers are a bad thing.
So Greeny, the reason kids won't get on their bike and ride 5 miles or whatever back to where they saw a porn magazine laying on the street is because they totally get that they don't have to do that. Yeah. All they need to do is get off the bus at home, go into the room and close the door and fire up their web browser, and they have more porn than they can possibly handle.
But that's
and
my
I
point.
Just realized
computers are evil. They're a bad thing.
The chat room is warning me that I may be severely underestimating the power of a horny 15-year-old boy. I may, but my son's not 15 yet, so I've got a ways to go.
Well, what I will say is that I've heard more than one story about how it has encouraged creativity in kids who are trying to hack around a time limit or a password or parental controls. So it's encouraging kids to take interest in technology.
No, I'm going to say actually.
There you go.
I mean, I'm totally with you on that one, Kel. Because we had the local supermarket stopped the sale of eggs at Halloween, so they couldn't egg people's houses as trick or treat. So the little shits around here decided
to
get.
That's,
Well, no, they stopped the sale. You couldn't buy eggs unless you were over 18 years old in the whole area. So the little shits bought little pot yogurts, the little tiny ones, the kid, you know, the baby yogurts, and they were hurling those at the windows. And Sharon was going mental, and I'm like, I'm really impressed with that. That's adapt and overcome right there. That's top notch, definitely. But if Ellis has got time restrictions on his computer, if he manages to learn about technology to the point so that he can hack around it, you know, the desire creating the mother of invention, if you like. I agree with that. That's fine. If he can hack around it, he can have it. I don't care. If he hacks his way onto a porn site and his mother finds out, he's deep shit. But
yeah, well, that's just an important life lesson. Step one is you figure out how to work around the system. Step two is you figure out how to not get caught.
Well, you see, now I had
those tracks. Yes.
Greeny's missing out about the porn mag thing, because what you used to do when you were a kid was if you got one, that you got your older mate or your older looking mate to go and buy one for you. Unfortunately, I was one of the older looking mates with those. But I used to, I had one that I drilled a hole in the corner of, on the spine. And I fed a piece of string through it and tied it up. So that way I could scoot it to the back underneath my wardrobe as far as it would go back so my mother couldn't find it. But I'd have this little tiny bit of string that I could just see to just pull it out gently. Because it was through the spine, it wouldn't rip it and all that kind of stuff. Until I hadn't figured out that the vacuum cleaner would attract the piece of string.
Nope.
And the piece of string disappeared at the vacuum cleaner and... And my mum then pulled on the string to see what was going up the vacuum cleaner. There you go. I didn't need to share that, really, did I?
No, it's good. It's not as bad as
Greeny's mind. I'm somewhat closer to you now, Ewan.
Thank you. Why, did you do that too, then?
No, but man, you're really clever.
We should make a blog of how we all hit our porn mags as kids. That's worth doing.
You didn't just put them at the bottom of your brother's drawer?
Oh, I didn't have a brother. That's the problem.
At the bottom of your dad's drawer.
Yeah, but they've never gotten back.
I mean,
what are you doing in my drawer? What are you doing next Saturday? Because Saturday the 6th of December is the Northern Bash. We've got a car going up from here. At the moment, there are three people in it. So we've got one more spot for you. £5 a ticket. It's the Tweed Bank Hall in the Scottish Borders. A day of gaming and shooting the breeze over gaming and the Gamer Show quiz and a whole load of fun. It'll be great fun. We've got the Bring Your Own Brews party. It's not like the Southerny Bash type thing. So it's a little bit more informal, if you like. But Paul's doing a great job organising it all. We're going to get there a bit earlier on. We'll probably be there about lunchtime, hopefully, to try and help set up everything. We're leaving my ass at 7 o'clock. So if you want to ride in the car, you've got to be at my ass at 7 a.m. But we're going to dial out for a curry. And then when the curry comes, we're going to just split the cost between us all and have some fun. And then midnight, we get chucked out. I've got... A guest house that's £40, including breakfast, that's 2 miles away, so it's staggering distance. So it's perfect. But I'm reliably informed there are a few taxis in the area, but we'll sort it out. And I'm sure Cars Against Humanity might make an appearance, Jeff says there as well. Mm-hmm. So that's next Saturday. Click the banner on the British Tech Network site and pay for your ticket. You can troll up and pay for your ticket if you want on the night, but the problem with that is we don't know how many people are coming and we have got a limit on the numbers. So, but we're not near the numbers at the minute. We're fine. And thank you also to Wirecast, because Wirecast are the people who've given us the great piece of software that does all the video switching. They gave us version 4 a couple of years ago, and that was starting to kind of show its age and the stuff we wanted to do with it, and love them to bits. They turned up and said, here you go, here's $2,000's worth of software. So they gave us $2,000 worth of Wirecast version 6, one for me here and one for Paul Wheatley up in the Northern Studio. So we now can do great switching, and we've got through the teething troubles of us getting used to it. So I feel quite happy in saying thank you to them now, because we'd be lost without them. They do a great program called ScreenFlow, which is an image capture stuff or a screen capture thing. So please go and support them, because they support us. They didn't need to give us that income. And the other people that support us, and they don't really need to, but they love doing it, is UK2. Now, we've got some sweets to give away for Patreon subscribers. I will be tweeting out this week a picture of a bag that's full of UK2 sweets. And all you've got to do, if you're a Patreon subscriber, sorry, unless you're a Patreon subscriber, you can't enter. But all you've got to do is tweet back or email me back and tell me how many sweets are in the bag, and the 10 people who give the closest answer will have a unique pack of sweets sent to them. There's they've not had many of these things made, and we've got a bunch, so they're fairly unique sweets. I'm not suggesting they're collectibles and they're going to be valuable in the future. You want to eat them. They taste nice. I had a few. I'll tweet the picture out. How many is it? And if you send back the right amount and you're a Patreon subscriber, then you, 10 of you, will get these unique UK2 sweets. They are gorgeous, I have to say. So support UK2 because they support us as well. Right then. I've got a feeling I've missed something, but I'll have a think about it. It's time for the cool thing. Mr. I've forgotten your name. Adam Christensen.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's all gone horribly wrong.
I got it.
American.
What is my cool thing? It is an app for the iPhone and iPad called Next Glass. Right. And what this is if you are into wine or beer, and you know, my preference is beer, but I also enjoy wine from time to time. It is a app that uses science, or so they claim, and I'm testing this now, to create a taste profile of the things that you like. So what you do when you first install the app is you go through a list and they will offer you up beers or wines, and you can filter into different categories. So if you like stouts or porters, or if you're more of a, you know, a white wine drinker, whatever it is, you can go into the different categories. It will present you different bottles, and then you rate them 1 to 4 stars. And then what it does is they have a database that they've set up that they analyze the chemical makeup of each beverage, and then will make recommendations of other ones that they think from a chemical standpoint are similar and therefore you will like. And it also has a like scanning in the store element. So it kind of uses, not virtual reality, but the overlay.
Augmented reality?
When you're, what is it?
Augmented
reality. So has an augmented reality element. So when you're in the store and you're looking at the shelf and you're like, I've never heard of that before, but it looks interesting. Will I like it? What you can do is you can bring it up with your camera and you scan the label and then overlay it over the label. It will give you a 1 to 100 score on whether or not you are likely to enjoy that beverage. So again, I don't know if it works yet. Visually, the app is really cool. And just in based on some of the recommendations that it has given me and the percentages, it seems like it is actually working. So I've, you know, entered some things that I like, and then it suggested some other things, and I went, oh yeah, I've had that before, and I really did enjoy that. You know, that is a 90% on my scale, or a 70%, or no, I really hated that, and you know, that's something I'm not going to like. So this pick is, I'm doing one because it's very cool. The only issue that I've had with it is supposedly you can add friends to it, but I can't figure out how to do that. And I can't figure out other than like through Facebook, I think, connecting it to Facebook. And I don't like connecting stuff to Facebook. I can't find a way to actually enter someone's username and add them to my friends list. So I don't know if that's a bug in their software. I've kind of written to their support. But otherwise, it is a really cool kind of new app for finding adult beverages, beer and wine, that you may or may not like.
Excellent. Good one.
And it's free.
Check out. I like beer and I like me wine. Mm-hmm. Good one. So, Jeff, what do you have for us, sir?
All right. I'll preface this with, I have been looking to see what I can use as an alternative to my Fitbit so that I can have my data going directly into HealthKit. And so I pulled out a device that I've had for a while, and it's this, which is the Misfit Shine. And I've been playing around with it again, turns out I'm really liking this. So the way it's designed, it's just the little disc and it sits in a band, or you can pop it out and put it in this, which is a little magnetic clip, so you can attach it to your clothes, and it tracks your steps and it tracks your sleep patterns. So it doesn't do a lot of stuff. And instead of saying, oh, you know, you've only walked 3,000 steps today, but you wanted to walk 10, you need to kick it up a notch. What it does is it gives you just kind of a general, hey, you're doing well, or you haven't hit your goals yet, sort of thing. And
it's encouragement.
And so this disc, the way it works, let me pop it out here. I mean, this is the actual tracker, and it's solid metal. And what they did was they used a laser and punched micro holes through the surface so that, let's see if I can get it to wake up. Okay. So it shines light through the micro holes.
All right.
And so the holes are small enough that water won't go through. So this is waterproof. And then it syncs through Bluetooth back to your iPhone. And then it also feeds its data back over to HealthKit. So you can look at your steps and your sleep patterns, all that kind of stuff. Right in HealthKit. And these are, I want to say about $70. I'm looking now. $80. So they used to be $100, but now they're $80. And you can get them in a bunch of different colors. Mine is silver, which is the original color. But yeah, you can get a bunch of different colors now too.
Excellent. Price, did you say?
Now, if you buy one, does it come $80. In different forms the way the Fitbit does? Like, there's the one that clips on, there's the wristband. When you buy one, is there just the one flavor or what?
When you buy it, it ships with the wristband and the clothing clip. So you can choose how you want to wear it.
Okay.
Which is great, because if you're doing something where you don't want to have a wrist strap mm-hmm. thing on, then just pop it into here. And nice. Yeah, so it's cool that it comes with both. And they now have bands in different colors. So you can choose, or you can buy additional bands online. And they even have a really nice band now that you can pop this in that's leather. So it looks more like a nice watch.
Regular cuff.
You can also get neck straps. So you can wear it like a necklace.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
And yeah. And I think they've even added in socks that have little pockets in them. So if you're doing something where you want to wear it like completely hidden, you can pop it into a sock as well.
So, and there's the show title. What all does it track? That was my question. Is it just steps, or will it do sleep too?
It does steps and it does sleep. And you don't have to do anything to make it track your sleep. You just go to bed and it figures out that you're sleeping. And when you get up, it figures out you're done sleeping. And then it just sends that data over to your phone. So really the only time you need to do anything with this is when you went to tap it, and you tap it a couple times mm-hmm. and then it shows you first your activity level. And so the more dots that light up around the surface, the more active you've been. And then it switches to showing you the time. So it does like one bright light for the hours, and then a different brightness for the minutes. And so you can, it works as a watch as well.
Nice.
It's pretty nice, and it's lightweight, it's comfortable. And to see me with something on my wrist, that's saying something, because I don't wear stuff on my wrists. And yet here I am wearing a Misfit Shine.
Good one. Kelly, what have you got for us, girl?
Mine is a two-part pick. I have a tripod mount. I'll see if I can put this together. So you can take this here and it will pivot. And here's the magic, is that these pop out. And so maybe you're saying, but my phone's not that wide, or my iPad isn't that wide, but that's okay, because these pull apart from, and this is a device from Square Jellyfish. And their site is squarejellyfish.com. And they have some really cool ideas for some really nice phone accessories. The cool thing about this is that then it's got the tripod mount on it. So if you have a tripod Or perhaps you bought a set of their legs. This is the other part of my pick. This fold, number one, this folds out to be a tripod. And number two, it makes a good way to hold your phone up and be stable with it. So that's pretty awesome. And then it's got a standard tripod mount on it with a nice little stick a quarter in and adjust so that you make sure it's all stuck on there securely. And they're super fantastic. And the reason I picked this one is because it's large enough to hold an iPhone 5 if you put it in sideways, and you know, you can just rotate it to be whatever position you want. And it will also hold an iPad mini. If you know people with littler phones, there does it does come in a smaller version. And the other thing that is awesome about this one in particular is that it's not very expensive at all. I want to say, now I'm not able to find the price on their site. It comes out to be not a whole lot of cash. And so that was one of the reasons that I liked it, is because it's pretty straightforward. And it's not very expensive, and it does something awesome for your phone or your whatever other device you want to use a camera with, and it gives you the opportunity to stick it straight to the tripod. So I thought that was pretty nifty. And the reason it's two-part is because I added the tripod to that, and it's also not a very expensive endeavor. So,
cool. Good one. They did some, Square Jellyfish did some stuff that was really cool at Macworld last year. Paul Wheatley said as well that he's getting really pissed off because the Skyscanner keeps sending us flight details, and of course we're not going. Bastard. Good one, Greeny. What have you got for us, mate? Greeny, you're on mute still.
Hold on. Hello. There you are.
There we go. I can edit. I can edit. Don't worry.
I use a proper old school mixing desk, and I've just brought my fader up. How lovely. Macworld, yeah, it's been cancelled, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone.
Yes.
All done and done.
Last print issue has come out already.
No, I thought the show as well has gone, hasn't it?
Both, yeah.
Ah, they're both so gone. That's that then.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be getting there this year. Well, we can do, can't we? We could do our own little one.
Get on with it, mate.
Sorry, yes. Right, you lot think I'm an idiot, don't you?
Yeah,
go you on. See the silence speaks volumes.
I said yes, so go on.
So I am doing an MA in graphic design. So balls to you all.
Are you really?
Nice.
Yeah, I genuinely am.
That's awesome.
And when I've done that, I'm going to do a doctor thingy and become Dr. Green in whatever made up thing.
You can't be
I can
a doctor
of.
With a friggin' MSc.
So yeah, anyway, but yeah, in all seriousness, I'm doing an MA in graphic design. If you are of a certain age, so my dad was involved in this, and I was, because of obviously being my dad, I was sort of involved slightly in this in letterpress or typesetting or whatever you want to call it, you know, old school printing. And it was a real valuable way of, or real, that's an American, really a valuable way of, and creative way of working with text and fonts and doing creative stuff. So it wasn't, again, to use an Americanism, cookie cutter type blooming Photoshop thing where you, or Illustrator or whatever it is, you just whack the type in and you sort of go with it, or you pinch somebody else's template and maybe just mess around with it a little bit and just whack it out as your own work, which is not obviously. So sometimes you have to think creatively and go back, and it sort of this wraps it all up. When we were talking about the analog v digital, and is it sometimes better to work in an analog world? But you've got to match that, of course, with the creative side and the convenience of using a computer. So that is a very sort of round the world way of bringing my pick on, which is called, I've got a horrible feeling I might have mentioned this before, but I'll do it anyway. It's called Letter M Press.
Right. Okay.
Which is, yeah, well, it's basically you build your own letter press with different fonts and stuff, and you put it together in the wooden block. and then you print the paper, and it's totally unique and it's totally yours. So it's basically a virtual digital letterpress. So if you're into graphic design, or you just fancy something that's unique to you and looks different to anything anybody else has done, I would recommend it. It's available for iOS, I think, for about £6. I think
it's on,
and it's also available for Mac for a tenner. I think.
I was going to say it's on Yosemite, isn't it? So yeah, it's on the Mac App Store.
Yeah. Oh, and it also, balls to you lot, works on Snow Leopard.
Ah.
Yes.
That well-known operating system that was used at the turn of the century.
Yes. Yes, if you're into that. But it's a really good pick. I think the whole thing with graphic design is you've got to sort of push it, haven't you? I'm very into steampunk, and I've used it in some steampunk designs I've done.
Cool.
Do you know what steampunk is?
I know what steampunk is, for Christ's sake.
I actually set letterpress type in a chase, you know, like the physical lead stuff. I don't know that we did the wood stuff in university. My degree is in this stuff, so.
You've only got a degree?
Oh, shut up, Greeny. Shut up. My cool thing is...
Yes, what? I have a BS
quiz degree. Michael, shut up, Greeny. Michael, you finished. Shut up. My cool thing is quiz up, because otherwise we're going to have a 4-hour frigging show.
Yay.
The cool thing is quiz up. Quiz up is excellent. Quiz up is free. Quiz up is loads and loads of fun, and you can challenge your mates on Facebook, or you can just pick up random strangers and beat them to a pulp with your general knowledge.
You haven't challenged me, have you?
I've not signed in with Facebook. I haven't done that thing.
So. Neither am I.
No, it won't let me. Every time I try and challenge someone, it says I've got to sign in through Facebook. Here we go. No. So retail logos, challenge.
The app is crashing for me now, so.
So when I say challenge, we could do contacts. Oh, right. Would you like it to access your contacts? Here we go. So Adam Christensen, there we go. Challenge.
I'm going to have to reinstall the app, though, because it just crashes for me every time. So
I'm sending you a challenge.
Good.
Oh, he's in. Here we go. On retail logos. Round one. Are you actually playing this at the same time?
No, because the app is crashing for me. I need to reinstall it.
I'm going
to
kick your ass then, aren't I?
Yeah.
Ha-ha! I've already won round one.
That's one of the awesome things about the app, though, is it does this pseudo real-time thing. So it will record your times. And then when I am available to play, it will record my times, and it just matches up the times, and then it will determine who wins.
Oh, right.
So.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm
and that's
playing.
What's awesome is, like, if you challenged me right now and I get the notification, it'll say that you challenged me. And if I'm in a place where I can pick it up, we are actually competing against each other at the same time. Right. And it's not like that game where you have the ghost car, which I can't remember the name of. But, like, you know, it shows, like, your previous record or whatever as the phantom car going around the track with you. And I love this game. It's super, super fun.
I can't.
So, and I really like that it's asynchronous. So, like, because of time zones and stuff, maybe you and I can't always play at the same time. But I can still compete against him, and it'll be a lot of fun.
No, I got one wrong, Adam. So, it's your turn.
It depends on what the one is. Because, like, I've won and lost games on a point.
Yep.
Well, you get double points in the last round as well, which kind of really frigs it. Because I've just played a woman in while Grinny was doing his pick because it was boring. I played a woman. What's the time code on that? It's 1:32. I played a woman in Montana, and I was kicking her butt, and then she got the last one, and I got the last one wrong, and it flipped completely.
And that was it. Around. Yeah,
it's wrong. Double points is shit. But there you go. Anyway, right. So there you go. That's my cool thing. Quiz up. Oh, yeah. Steve Neighbors challenged me a couple of times, and he beat me on the Apple one, bastard, by one question. So.
And I love it because it gives you a way to play games with people. And that's one of, you know, like Words with Friends and that kind of stuff. That's one of the things that I like about the internet is that, like, I can still play whatever with somebody, you know, and we can still, like, interact. And I think it's a lot of fun.
The other thing I forgot is the 8th. Of December is the Christmas party for London Mac User Group. It's going to be at Tiger Tiger starting from 6 p.m. on Monday night. Get yourself down there after work. I'll be there. We should be doing a live broadcast from there. There is a Christmas quiz, and there'll be a Christmas quiz prize for everyone who's not there. So if you're watching the podcast, you'll get to be there. We should be able to broadcast without any issues. We're seeing how that's going to go. But Monday the 8th at Tiger Tiger in Piccadilly, if you want to come. Where can we get a hold of you? Did you beat me yet, Adam, or not?
I'm still downloading.
All right, okay. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can find me over at MattCast.com. Also just MattCast on iTunes. Even if you hate it, please look me up there. And also on Twitter, Facebook, you know, all those standard places as MattCast. And then I also do the iOS show with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston every week. So that's at the iOSshow.com.
So you got the emails about the MattCast from me?
What? Hey? Huh?
What? No, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. No, Jim, I don't think so.
Jeff, where are you? Before
I'm over at MacObserver.com. And Adam already mentioned the iOS show. I'm also on TMO Daily Observations and the Apple Context Machine, the big show here. And then you can find me on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter. I think I'm Jay Gamet on Instagram. And then also freshbrewedtales.com, where I talk about all the stuff that I see people doing in coffee shops. And most of that stuff is like really weird.
Excellent, mate. Kelly, where can we get a hold of you? Bear in mind, we may run into next week's big show at the rate we're going.
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me writing things over at the Mac Observer to help explain stuff to people. And you can find me on the big show here and hosting the after show with Mike Rose at the aftershowpodcast.com.
Excellent. Well done. And William of Green, where the hell are you?
BritishMac.com. That's about it, really.
Okay. At BritishMac on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right.
Good man. Thank you for coming along.
That's all right.
I appreciate
it. And also the Babel, the Bible Part3.com.
Right, okay. Is that
serious? You never ask me what that is.
You say it every week, but I think you're taking the piss, so.
I'm not.
Okay, well, explain it to us next week. There you go. That'll right. Keep everyone coming back, you see. That's called suspension. Yes. We'll see you next week. Thank you, my name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with a slightly shorter show. Honest.